Good morning. Welcome everybody to the Sussex County Council meeting for September 27, 2016. First thing is going to be approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. I have no suggested amendments to today's agenda.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved, Mr. President.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second. Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. We have the minutes of September 20th. Any questions, corrections, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council?
No, not.
Okay. Public comments, Mr. Guy? Okay. Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Paul Rieger, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. Last week, I got a little caught off guard with receiving that response, basically right before the meeting, after asking for it so long and then trying to understand it and come through with the legal terms in there, how it was all wrote. I don't believe that my questions were answered as far as to the height and basically for like why one go for a special use adjustment and different things in it and for what's the farming and educational purposes. Is if coming up for the fall and going in for December, with as much time as I keep bringing up this subject and dealing with issues which pertain where we're questionable on what the code is, on everything that's going, even in the sign ordinance hearing last week, when I asked a simple question with the under 5 acres and over five acres, nobody could even answer that question if I was wrong or correct on the assumption on who had more rights and for what was legal and not legal. I feel that for as much time as I'm an effort that I'm putting in this is coming up in the near future, just the part that I'm looking at in the code to understand and to fix, is the time that I keep coming up here is taking up valuable of your time, my time, and everybody's time. Coming in trying to prove my points at the Board of Adjustments, which I have proven twice with the outcome, the answers that they seem to give, I believe that they agree with me, or at least some of the members, with what I've been asking the questions on. I believe with even coming up with the regulations for what Planning Board does, with their conditions concerning different issues, with the fencing and stuff like that, should be addressed. It may be time if you can come up with a thing and put it on the agenda to take the 15, 20 minutes, or if other people have any suggestions, to at least try to fix the code. Because I cannot see how you can fix the code or go into the comp plan if the code cannot be fixed with everything in it. I am in total disagreement, and I do not understand this farming and educational purposes the way that it refers back in that letter that I received. It's ridiculous on where we're at with that and with the code for enforcement and everything else like that. If you can do that, that would be muchly appreciated. It should be brought out so everybody knows where everybody stands on the issues and come up with property rights for neighbors plus property rights for the homeowner and get this issue to rest and hopefully come up with a solution. Thank you.
Dan Kramer.
Here comes the idiot.
My name is Dan Kramer. I want to know a couple of things. One, right here, you've got a listing under Todd Lawson, County Administrator. Sussex County, Sussex Conservation District Residential Construction Application Plan. What's that? There's no information out here, nothing written for the public to even know what it's all about. And from what I'm putting together, you guys are going to put a regulation into effect that's going to cost us a ton of money. If somebody wants to disturb a little piece of land, give me a break. And then last week you had your sign ordinance, and at the end there was a motion made and to close it, but they, one of you guys wanted to have it open comments. And no, we got to have it in written comments. Why is that? But I can tell you why. Because you guys will never read the written comments at all. Oh, some of your ding-a-lings will. But they'll say, oh, it don't matter the hill of beans. But you guys won't read them. So what are you afraid of public commentary?
I feel like I'm in the debate.
Ruth Biedemann?
Oh, she's with, I'm sorry. Is there any other?
She's with the other group.
She's with our advisory committee on aging and adults
right.
with.
She's coming she's up. Gonna, she's going to speak.
She's going to speak unless there's other signed up for public comment.
Was she and Barbara Spray?
I'm sorry, I signed this.
Okay, you're both. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You'll be up here in just a second.
Okay.
Cheryl Schwed.
Are they probably the same thing?
As Cheryl Schwed, Botanic Gardens.
They're on the agenda for later.
Yes, they're also on the agenda
for later. Right. I got a question though. For
wait a minute.
If you get done, we run out of people.
Ain't that pretty? That's
okay. Well, where are they on the agenda?
Request.
I see. Time extension. Well, they won't get to speak then.
That is correct.
If they want to speak, then
oh
yeah, Cheryl Schwed.
No. Yes.
Or Ray Sander.
Leave right there.
That's why I was questioning that.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, sir.
We're here to ask for an extension of our conditional use zoning, and we're prepared to move forward with the project as soon as we have your approval to move forward. Thank you.
Certainly.
Now, my question of on that one, where it says on our agenda, request for time extension, why wouldn't it have been they're the ones requesting the extension. Why wouldn't we have permitted them to be able to tell us why they wanted the...
This is the same ordinance that was passed for those at the end of the year, which indicated for a six-month extension.
Oh, okay.
They would have to give it in writing
right.
with all the reasons.
Okay. And then I got one other quick
sir,
question. And it was triggered by... one of the other comments we just said, but on the definition of a farm, I get confused once in a while. We have what's permitted in residential districts, like MRC1, GR, et cetera. But if you have GR land or MR land or C1 land and it's being farmed, who takes the priority in what is permitted there? Is it if it's zoned GR, do the GR ordinances trump, I like that word, trump the farming uses or agriculture uses? Because I know, for instance, and the only reason I say it, because we have the residential districts called AR1, which is, it's described as agricultural uses and residential uses are permitted in that district. But with these other districts, you're zoned MR and you're farming, and you're doing an activity that's not permitted typically in an MR district, how does the county decide? Where is it written that we take this side over this other side?
Typically, if you look at the zoning code for any restrictive code, it allows you to also use it for other purposes of any of the least restrictive codes under it. For example, AR1 is permitted in some of the other districts. You get into a different scenario if you have private restrictions, if it's an MR, for example, and there is a subdivision that sold 5-acre lots, but they had restrictive covenants. And so the restrictive covenants would
So rule. Years ago, we did have those 5-acre parcels, and say one was zoned GR, which a lot of it was. A guy can take that 5 acres and just say, I'm a farmer.
Part of the issue
even though
that's
he's in
been,
like a minor subdivision or
right.
something.
One of the issues that's been coming forward is the difference between what the actual zone is as opposed to what the use is. And that's part of the issue that's been coming up that the gentleman has been bringing forward.
Right. Would it be smart of us as we go forward to this land use thing. Is there any way in this land use planning process that we kind of make this clearer? It seems to me a little gray area that if I'm in a residential district and here's a guy doing something that's not permitted in a residential district, why does the county turn a blind eye?
Well, the code does indicate that you're allowed to do those lesser portions too. Mr. Lang?
Chicken.
You got a bum leg?
If you looked at the zoning ordinance, the GR and the C1 refer specifically to permitting uses in an AR1 district.
Okay.
So if you had the acreage, you can farm it. If you had an MR district, for example, and it was farmed previous to the MR zoning, it's become a non-conformity, it can continue, but they wouldn't be allowed to apply for poultry houses or something of that nature.
Okay. But GR and C1?
GR and C1 right. Refer specifically to AR. Right.
Okay. Well, maybe that's something we can look at.
Right.
Okay.
I have
okay.
a question, too. If
thank you.
Mr. Deaver.
Beg your indulgence. In AR, we still allow pigs and chickens, and what are the limits at this time?
The parcel's got the adequate size and can meet the appropriate setbacks.
Okay, according to setbacks and size of a parcel. So if it were a typical subdivision, I'm just saying, you know, I'm talking generally speaking. I represented Route 9 where all those pigs were, and I wonder if it's still allowed. That's what I want to know. In AR.
If you have a 5-acre parcel in the AR district, you can operate a farming activity as long as you can meet the setback requirements mm-hmm. for your feed areas mm-hmm. and your shelter.
No, this was a lot out of a subdivision.
No, not typically.
No?
Only for your personal enjoyment. You have a
the pigs were not, those pigs were not allowed?
No, I'm saying if they were for your own personal enjoyment.
Not particularly.
It could be done.
Meaning, make it.
Who could prove what they were for?
Well, I assume that means for the property owners enjoying it, not
your,
his neighbors.
Wait a minute. Yeah, not a neighbor, but your personal.
Well,
like pigs.
How do you decide that?
The inspectors, the number of pigs.
Right. So how many pigs would have been allowed in on Route 9?
If you had a parcel and you were taking care of pigs for your own personal enjoyment, not operating commercially. You could have eight. And we still have setback requirements also that interrelate to how you feed them, how you shelter them.
I've said enough about those pigs because they're gone now. I'm so glad. But that has nothing to do with our laws or anything that we've done. That particular gentleman, well, that was actually business.
Right.
That particular gentleman
that
just.
Taken care of.
Well, they're gone now. Excuse me?
It took a while, but we took care of it.
Do you feel like that's what we did? Do you feel we did that or he changed his mind?
No, I think we pushed a little bit.
Thank you.
Now he's in the scrapple business.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
One more question, Mr. Lank.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We're going to, you okay, Mr. Cole?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm done.
We're going to move our agenda to our published 10:15 public hearing for the High Tide Church expansion, Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. So somebody's coming up here from.
Yeah, I'll come up.
No, wait.
Engineers first.
Engineering department.
They're all they're drawing.
Show on here who was coming. So
yeah.
They're
drawing straws. Yes.
They're drawing lots.
Pardon me?
Yes, to start this.
This is your church, right?
Public hearing.
Okay.
You want to start?
Yes, this is the time and place for a public hearing on this matter, the High Tide Church expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. After a brief presentation by Mr. Hawks, there will be an opportunity for the county to ask the council to ask any questions. Then after that, there will be an opportunity for the public to speak on this. There will be an opportunity, or I would like to point out that Mr. Arlett has left the room. He is a member of the High Tide Church and wanted no appearance of conflict.
Mr. Ashman.
Yes, Mr. Ashman, I'm sorry.
Good morning.
Mr. Brooks does work for the engineer.
This expansion was requested by the High Tide Church, a project currently known and a project currently known as PGS Properties in the Allen Harem in the Dagsboro Frankfort area. The church and PGS properties will be responsible for gravity sewer to a connection point on the west side of 113. This provides a connection point for the American Legion post number 24, which has been on a holding tank since approximately 2008. Mm-hmm. Allen Harem will be connecting to the gravity system installed by High Tide and PGS. There are several other parcels included in this expansion to maintain our contiguous path and to fill a donut hole that was created. And some will be receiving a connection point from this infrastructure installed by High Tide. The expansion will consist of 122.65 acres, more or less, and it will be responsible for system connection charges of $5,775 based on current rates. The area was posted on September 12th, and newspaper ads ran in the Cape Gazette. We have received no phone calls for and against the district expansion. However, Sharon Smith, who is a county employee, and her parcel is actually included in part of this expansion, was approached by a neighbor about signing a petition to request out of this district, but we have not heard from them. We are assuming they may be here today to speak. Mm. And
can you identify where those might be right now? Or
we do not know.
We're not sure which ones are theirs. Okay.
My guess is right in this
those, okay.
But I'm not positive.
And when would it be proper for me to ask a question, sir?
Right now.
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
Yes.
Mr. Ashman,
yes.
Is this something that's going to greatly benefit, or environmentally, the Allen Harem plant? Is it going to help you?
They seem to think so. They've.
Well, I'm interested. They're very, very interested in that.
Yeah, I think there's been several options placed to them as to what flow we can take from their facilities.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. So I know we've had a lot of complaints about other such facilities about, you know, rivers and water is getting a little smelly.
Yeah, I don't think this one is that kind of impact.
I understand.
Such as the hatchery.
But I'm sure glad to hear that it would be good for the environment. What we're doing is good for the environment. Thank you very much.
But the other question is, when you mix their wastewater with the usual typical wastewater we have in our sewer systems, is there a conflict there like you see in Selbyville with the plant? In these other poultry facilities, you know, when we try to spray irrigate it, and do we have to extra treat it, or do they treat it?
Councilor Cole, the discussion has been had with Allen Harem, that being the hatchery. The key discussion point was the separation of the egg waste, which is not needed, is not used, and that they will continue to separate the egg waste. So the waste strength which we will be receiving is very similar to a domestic waste strength. If it does not meet the domestic waste strength, they will have to provide a pre-treatment system, which we've discussed with them, so they're fully aware of that. Mm-hmm.
So in case they, which is a big new company, I mean new owners and stuff, right, because that was Allen's, if they change the use, so they're right now a hatchery, so they add something else there, we will still check with them before they can put anything in.
If the use is changed, then the EDU number, the equivalent dwelling unit number, would change.
That will change too.
And they would have to seek a different allocation of capacity, okay, which would then trigger the renewed discussion of pretreatment. Mm-hmm. Now, I can see, and certainly it would trigger a land use discussion with the land use side. So
I'm just worried if they do a different type of processing there that we. And they start having a byproduct that is, you know, more has a more of a negative impact on, like I say, our traditional stuff that goes into our sewer systems.
The code, the environmental part of the code, 110, is very clear, mm-hmm, that you have to provide pretreatment,
okay,
if your waste strength exceeds.
Okay.
So we have two triggers, EDU increase and land use changes. So there's two triggers we would know about.
Okay. All right, good.
May I have permission to make another?
Sure.
I understand that was advertised in the Cape Gazette. May I ask administration to please, I think we can afford to put something in a newspaper that reaches that area. The Cape Gazette is not the right one. I don't, you know. So, I mean, we can afford more than one paper, I hope.
If you saw what advertising costs and what our expansion fees are, one newspaper is probably not covered.
But
when it comes to
but
the
no,
public,
she's right. That's
yes,
that
yes,
paper.
If
that paper's
a,
not.
If that's a, not an area that paper covers.
Well, it's
we,
not.
We
you,
need
I'm
to
not. I'm not, I didn't mean to direct us to engineering at all, anyway. I mean, I'm talking to administration.
No, it needs to come to engineering, because we're the ones that set the advertising and tell it where it goes.
Well, it applies to all departments.
If that's not covering the area where it needs to, we need to.
It's not the.
Absolutely.
It's too far from.
I just heard it today.
She's right on that.
It's not your fault. Not your fault.
The code is clear. It says a paper of regional coverage. So the region is defined as hopefully including the area where we're serving. So if we advise that the Cape Gazette does not cover this particular area, then we would have to pick a different newspaper in order to be sure that the readers do get the information.
We would still just use one?
Yeah, the code says one, but we usually
use multiples
on
larger expansions.
I understand.
And referendums in public.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. Of course, the Cape Gazette.
There are better papers for this area than
the Cape
Gazette.
I beg your pardon. But the Cape Gazette covers the Cape. You know, this is not the Cape. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, are there any more questions of Mr. Ashman?
No.
If not, this is the time for any member of the public to come forward and speak. Is there anyone here that would like to speak on this issue? Sir, if you can come forward and come to the podium, give us your full name and address, and there is a sign-in sheet there as well, if you will sign in as well, please.
Hi, my name is Carmen DeGenere. I live at 28057 9 Foot Road, Dagsboro. A lot of us on 9 Foot Road cannot afford this. I mean, you're going with the American Legion, which they have VFW on this list on the corner, nonprofit organization. Tidewater, nonprofit organization. Church of God, nonprofit organization. Vickers just spent $25,000 on a septic system for his house, Lou Vickers. Before I purchased mine, there was a new septic put in. The Lewises, new septic put in when they built that house. Mm-hmm. O'Neill's, they cannot afford this. I mean, I don't know if their septic is old or not, but everybody I've talked to, except for maybe exceptional of the hatchery, does not want this. We cannot afford it. Now, if they're willing to pay for it, for us to tie it in, sure. But we just can't afford to throw out $6,000 right off the top of our heads. I do have a petition with a lot of people's signature on it. I will present it to you.
So you $6,000, you're referring to the hookup fee.
Yeah, and then we get what? We get a pay for incoming and outcoming?
Mm-hmm.
There's another additional bill.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. But, okay, I heard you say the $6,000 specifically. I want to make sure.
Connection fee. Mm-hmm. Is that the connection fee, Todd?
Then we got what? We got to pay for a plumber to come in and dig that up and tie into there. There's another fee.
And that's extra?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What would it cost total?
Depends on how far you get.
Generally speaking, depends on the cost that the plumber would estimate to make that connection, but it does require a
depends
dollar license.
Depends on how far he has to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My house sits about 150 feet from the road.
Well, that's good and bad.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have a copy of your petition you would like to present?
Yes, I do, sir.
And could you identify which one you are up there by any chance? Just point to it, and then, because we can't hear it, don't talk, but just point to it if you could.
Right there.
Oh, my. Good, right in the middle.
Okay. And your petition is from what those, how many petition? Where'd they come from? If you could point to those real quick.
All right, here's Vickers. It's there, here.
Everybody on Hickory.
And
excuse me.
Everybody up on Hickory.
They're all on that petition.
They're
okay.
All on this petition. Thank you. I don't have a copy. This is the original one.
Mm-hmm. We have copiers here.
Give the guy in a suit.
I'll make copies.
Which guy? So you're all.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you.
Sam and I are sporty.
And what was the name of the street there that you were pointing to? That your home is on?
9 Foot Road.
9-foot road, so all the properties, and just for the record, that you pointed to when you were at the screen were all 9-foot road, is that correct?
Yeah, so there was Hickory Lane. Hickory Lane, did you mention?
Hickory Lane is right off a 9-foot road.
There's that little dog lake coming off there, it's Hickory Lane. There's a couple houses.
This is Hickory Lane, one
right there.
Here.
So there's a couple houses on
there. There is.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's Hickory Lane and 9-foot road.
Yeah, so the O'Neill sits on the corner of Hickory and 9-foot.
Okay.
The O'Neills that are on there.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to present?
I was told that they were trying to push for a new development across the street, and that's why they were pushing this through. I just want to know if that is true or not, because it's hearsay.
Typically, that's one of the reasons. No, I don't know if it's in writing, but I don't.
You want me to respond what I know?
If you respond with this.
Information.
Nobody.
Okay.
Much appreciated.
The PGS property, which is a piece on the corner, has been slated for a commercial property for years. We have no approved plans or anything on that as yet. High Tide basically at first is the church. That's their main goal, is to get the church. They do have a potential to move to some dwellings in the back and on the four lots in the front.
There's just the old house still there, right?
As far as
under no the old church house, currently there.
There's no church there.
Right. It's just they own the property.
They need sewer in order to build a new church.
Build a new church.
Yep.
Okay. Could you please point to where there's a new or this development proposed? I'm not quite sure.
PNC or whatever.
This
PNC.
Is PGS
right
properties. That's been a proposed commercial.
That's where the proposed development would
be. The church owns this,
mm-hmm.
this,
mm-hmm.
and the bigger parcel.
And that as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice bit of property.
I have a question. No reason church can't own property.
Huh?
No reason a church can't own property.
Oh, no. No okay. reason whatsoever.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. Yes. You need to give us your name and address first.
Your name and address. And
speak
and
into the
sign
mic.
In, please.
Thank you, Mr. Ashman.
Yes.
Welcome.
My name's Leona Bush, and I also live at 2809 Foot Road.
Speak in the microphone.
Is it possible for these to get it hooked up and other people to get exempt from it? Or if it comes, we all have to get it.
Somebody want to address that from the
engineering department? I'll let you answer the question. I think I know the answer, but I'll let you answer the question.
If the county does provide an extension and provide service to your property, then you have to connect. We can choose not to provide a service to your property, and you do not have to connect, and you do not get billed. Now, it is a double-edged sword. It could be beneficial to you immediately because you don't have an expense. However, if your system fails in the future, then you would have a much greater expense because at this point you have no service to your property. So we the engineering department, have no horse in this race. So if you chose to cut the line and exclude the properties, exclude the properties on this side.
Mm-hmm.
That is perfectly fine. We just need to have a land bridge to make the extension contiguous. Or you could direct us to include them all but not provide service. That's also possible.
And exempt them from any of the any fees until they want to hook up?
If there is no service to your parcel, then you do not get a bill.
So any of these properties could be in the district,
and
a guy just got a new system and he could wait till it fails, 10, 15 years, say it fails, then he would be required to pay the connection fees and things.
And higher plumbing costs, because at that point there is no service lateral on his property, so the expense would all fall on the property owner.
Right. It'd be more expensive then than now, but they wouldn't be paying now for something they don't perceive they need, correct?
That is 100% correct.
I see people shaking their heads. Service lateral, I don't know what you mean by that. What does that mean?
That means you have a connection point on your property for your property to connect.
Mm-hmm. And it makes it more expensive or less expensive? How does that help?
If the project assumes this cost,
mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Then at that point your property is considered to be serviceable today, and you're
right,
supposed
to
connect.
But they don't
but
want
if
it.
If we don't provide that, then mm-hmm. the property it cannot be
Remember, the state code says you have to be legally and technically available. So if we put them in the district, they're legally available, the service. But if we provide no service lateral, then it's technically not possible. Right. So the state will allow them to continue to maintain their on-site permit.
Yes.
Until the time comes, if and when. Mm-hmm. And then the owner must make a decision then.
And the cost in the future, we don't know at this point. What they could be. We have no idea, right?
No. Right. So we have no preference. This is really a council decision. Do you feel it is advantageous to do one or the other?
And Alan Harum does, it is pretty much common knowledge that they would be very helpful to them.
They certainly have met with us on number of occasions.
Number of occasions, right.
We know the need. There's an established need.
Thank you very much.
Any more questions?
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in regards to this matter? Anyone else? Mr. President, we can close the public hearing now, and council, if they desire to act now, may do so.
Well, I'd like just to ask if they understood that little conversation we just had with engineering about being in a district but having no lateral provided means that they're not technically able to be hooked up, so they wouldn't have to be paying any fees. That was my understanding, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and is that understandable? So there's really...
Come on down.
Come on, we'll leave you one more shot because you're the only ones here to worry about it.
Say in the future my system does fail, I would be able to tie into that, yay sure. or nay?
Correct.
Yay or nay, right.
That's fine.
Well, you know, you if your system fails, I'm sure the state would require you to hook up because it's there.
Well, yeah, I understand.
It's
we
there.
Have to. I know
that. The costs were not, they could be expensive because you'd have to put in the lateral, which means that straight pipe would then have to be cut. You know, a lateral put in, that's going to be an extra cost with permits, et cetera, plus the running it, you know, and everything else. So there, it could be more expensive then than now because we're going to put the lateral in today, but then you'd be charged.
Thank you. Currently, the gravity line is proposed to be on the south side of 9 Foot Road. So anybody that comes in later that does not have a lateral is either going to have to directional drill under 9 Foot Road or cut 9 Foot Road, and they're going to pay restoration costs and everything else according to DLDOT.
Right.
That's sort of why we took the initiative to have the project put the laterals in now.
So they would have to, if later on they wanted to hook up.
They would foot the cost of the crossing the road and then the plumber fee and the
Well, it looks like right now you got it run down my side of the road.
Well, that's just the red. That red line doesn't mean anything. That would not. No. That's not it.
Well, help me understand.
Just identifying the property.
Okay.
That's all.
Mr. President,
Mrs. Deaver.
I know I asked a lot of questions, but thank you for your patience. I've seen us run sewer in front of vacant lots, and we still charge people for it.
If there's a lateral there, I assume
front
we do.
Footage,
yes.
We charge front footage, right?
Well, no, we're not servicing, we're not servicing an empty lot.
No, but if they have a lateral run to that lot.
Oh, they do run the lateral to the lot.
Yes.
So that's why they have.
How large you can answer the question.
I'm sorry, but I get confused, you know, and I want to know exactly.
In a publicly funded project, the county would extend service to every legal lot, including empty lots.
I know, that's what people complain about.
That means every lot pays the debt service portion.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay the operation and maintenance
portion,
but they pay the debt service portion. As a matter of fact, it was a big discussion point at the last expansions that the empty lots are not exempt from the front footage cap.
Correct.
So they have to pay full debt service, not reduced debt service.
What would be an example of a typical charge?
The Herring Creek and Chapel Branch charges are in the order of $8 per front foot. There is no cap. So if you have a 150-foot lot, your charge will be 150 times 8, so that is
$1,200.
A year?
A year.
Thank you very much.
Without a lateral, they don't pay front footage even. In this
without a lateral, there is no front footage.
No front footage, no service charge, no nothing.
No nothing.
Okay. But it's very expensive if they want to hook up later, is what you're telling us.
It is a question. You decide what's in the best interest of your constituents. A lesser cost today, but then, you know, like, you have to weigh this against their desires today versus a higher cost in the future.
Thank you for explaining it to me. Thank you very much.
Any more questions before we close the public hearing?
Yeah.
Sorry. Just say somebody does tie in. What happens if their septic tank? What are they going to pay to get that all filled in, pumped out, and filled in? That's up to the homeowner entirely.
That's the homeowners.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any more questions?
Thank you.
We'll close the public hearing, and it's council's pleasure on what like to do.
How do we notify the property owners that they have the option of asking for a lateral or not? Do they? Do we at this? If we approve this district,
does the property owner then get re-notified that they can, or do we need to get something on the record before we adopt this that, or anyway, how should we approach this is what I'm trying
Councilman
to.
Councilman Cole, I think you hit an excellent nail.
Yes.
You could approach it from the standpoint approving the district expansion as presented, and then directing the engineering department in a separate motion to contact all people on the petition list and ask them whether they'd like to have a lateral extended to them or not.
How about if we direct you to contact everybody, because there doesn't seem to be that many property owners here. It doesn't seem that, you know, it's going to be that difficult. And maybe ask all of them. Now then, my question would be is if quite a number of them decided they didn't want it, the cost of getting that line out to Allen Harum, who will bear most of the cost of those users?
The county has only one expense in this, which was in the budget, is to bring the sewer system to the west side of Route 113.
Okay, cross there.
After that, no further public funds are expended. Mm-hmm. The rest of it is private funds.
Okay, and the scenario of everybody wants to be exempt except maybe the PNC or PNS properties, High Tide Church, and an Allen Harum. Just those three big parcels end up being the only people say, we want laterals, we want users. Will you divide the cost of all that between those three?
Yes.
Okay. And then if the other people then hook on later on, there's connection charges and other things, catch-up charges?
Affirmative.
Yes.
Would any of those other property owners, since at the initial part of this, they would have to pay such higher rates because there's not all these other participants, right? The rates would be higher?
Right now, we would not ask the individual homeowners to participate in the project. Mm-hmm. It is a benefit. It's borne by the three private entities driving the petition.
Okay.
They've been notified. They've been put on notice that they have to. We require them to provide service across the street. If we choose to not provide service across the street, which is totally your call, mm-hmm. or cut them out altogether, then we will proceed accordingly. Mm-hmm. There's, as I said, we have no horse in this race. This is, you make the decision.
Well, I understand. I don't know how the council feels on voting on something like it. What is the time frame on this? I know we always are tied to a time frame, aren't we?
Now that we've gained from 30 days to 90 days, we actually have time to.
Oh, we do have
action.
Time. Okay. I don't know if it's something that if you want to draw, anybody would rather see other pictures, and then we only have one picture showing everything. If we saw a picture exempting who we know today, there's a petition to be exempted, you know, maybe we ought to look at that and just to see what the difference is and see who's not impacted and see, and maybe some estimates on cost, because Allen Harum and High Tide and the other properties are going to bear the brunt of the cost of that sewer line, right?
Yeah.
Is that?
The three entities requesting the service will certainly welcome you to reduce their cost.
Oh, I know that.
I can't.
Right,
no,
but if we exempt a bunch of people, that doesn't reduce their cost.
It doesn't change their cost.
Oh, it doesn't change.
Right now, they have fully been notified that we expect, as part of this extension, that the service be provided on both sides of Nine Foot Road. Mm-hmm. If you choose to exempt the properties on the north side of Nine Foot Road, the three petitioners. Will clearly be benefiting and be happy. And maybe the residents will be happy, and that's a great solution. So if you want to
you could show us that,
if
right.
If you want to table it today, then we can revisit it.
Well, with the 90-day time frame
with
now,
the,
I think
with the
I
90
think
days
with,
you can,
with the
you can
conversation
table.
We've had, I what do you think, Mr. President?
No matter me, what you want. To me, I think what I heard him say was that the three property owners, the three, two on the south side and one on the north side, the Allen Rim, are who's going to pay
to
put sewer in.
Very important, yes, sir.
So whether they, Edit Miles joins in or not, right, they're putting the bill, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For ease, you could adopt today with direction to the engineering department to contact those included that were to be provided a lateral as they want it or not.
Okay.
If they do not want it, we pull the ladder off the construction drawings.
Boom.
We let them know they no longer have service available.
Okay, mm-hmm. No, that's fine. I maybe we don't need to
delay. Maybe Mr. Cole's point was correct. Maybe we should notify, I assume you're going to notify everybody.
We have
except those three property owners that want the sewer.
Yeah, we have several already that are not being served. The group you see out along 113 are not being served as part of this project.
Correct.
Because it's just not acceptable to make those guys run pipe out there.
Sure.
But it fills a donut hole that's created by their project.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some parcels already that we were not providing a lateral and would not get a charge. Mm-hmm. So to do that to the remaining parcels along 9 foot does not really impact our decision at all. It keeps us a contiguous path. We have parcels that are there. They're annexed. If they want to go for sewer in the future, they pay the connection, put the lateral in the ground, and they're good to go.
If I understand, then in a sense, there's a benefit privately funding the sewer line. Is that not true? The
yes.
benefit
yes.
to the people.
Yes,
I would think so. Also, is it possible to put a lateral in and not connect it to the house?
Oh yeah, I just didn't leave laterals.
You can leave laterals there.
But then what?
But once it's served by law, we have to have them connect within a year.
Once it's served,
Has a lateral, it's served. It can get sewer service from.
I'm thinking about our end of the lateral, and you know, what I'm saying. I was just wondering if there's any way to temporarily draw connection, even though it's not used, and then be able to turn it on. I'm no engineer.
The lateral is the trigger correct. The.
The lateral is the trigger for the technical availability at this point.
So if you're running that line.
Now, that does still not mean, I mean, not to get too technical, but you can still refuse to connect because we can't force you to connect.
No, I'm not asking that question. Okay. I understand. But if you refuse to connect, then our line will not be affected. There will be, I guess, our line won't be touched as far as creating a lateral. I could puncture it. I don't know what you do to it, but you don't have to. You don't have to affect our line if they don't want service. If I understand correctly,
that's correct.
That's correct. Okay.
If the future potential customer says, "We absolutely do not want to have a service provided to my property,"
mm-hmm.
we will not do so.
Okay. I'm just trying to picture physically if there's any way to create a temporary lateral, and that's all I'm saying. I just know.
No, the answer is no.
Darn.
I mean, there's no big defer for a week. Think
that's
should be
you,
best.
If you want to defer, they can.
You know,
I think it's too soon.
Yeah, let's defer for a week, and we'll come right back and put it on the agenda.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Cole.
So,
second, Mrs. Deaver, to defer action on this item for 1 week. Any questions on the motion?
Well, yeah, it's just too much information right now.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I have a yes motion carried. So we'll put it back on the agenda, Mr. Lawson, for next Tuesday. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, sir.
Now we'll back up. Ms. Biteman. Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities, report on the live conference.
Where is it live?